In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Is anybody scared? The gospel of today, being the last Sunday in the Coptic year, I think it's pretty obvious the message that the church wants to send us. Be prepared for the time of the second coming, when Christ comes again. This time can either come when Christ comes on the clouds, as we read today, from the east, or it can come when we depart from this world and move on to the next. And I think a redundant message that we heard from the epistles and also from the words of our Lord is, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. He says that many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And, you know, we know and see all sorts of deceptions of Satan in the world that we live. And it's very important for us as believers to recognize these deceptions. Because if we don't recognize them, then we will fall into them. And most importantly, St. Paul, in his letter today to the Thessalonians, he said about, we make this distinction because we know the truth of the gospel. So I'd like to speak today, and God willing, next week, about this idea of distinguishing between the truth, what is true, and what is false. St. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, in chapter 1, verse 5, his first letter, chapter 5, he tells us, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. So he tells us to test all things. And to test means to examine, to prove, to see whether something is genuine or something that is not. In the medical field, to test whether a drug is really active or not, they test it against something that's called a placebo. And the placebo is just like a tablet, like of sugar. It looks exactly like the other tablet, but it's out of sugar or some other product that's, you know, has no active ingredient in it. So what they'll do, they'll get the patients, and they'll each give them this medicine. And the patients have no idea which is the right medicine and which is the placebo, the one that's, you know, a dud, right? So then they take the medicine, and if it really, really, you know, works, then what you'll find is the patients who took the placebo and believed it was the real thing wouldn't get well. And then the patients who took the real medicine would be the ones to get well. So there's an important distinction for us to learn what is true and what is false. And we do this even in our ordinary life. It's to recognize what is genuine after examination. Why is it important for us to examine all things and to test all things? Number one is that there is a true force working against us. There is somebody and a force that is working against our salvation. That's why St. Peter tells us, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the one who's working against you, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So there is somebody, there is a prowler, there is Satan and his demons that are prowling around us looking for the opportune time to tempt us to fall into sin or to become addicted to a sin, to fall into the pit of sin without hope of ever coming out. They're sitting there and waiting for the opportune time. It's just like, you know, if somebody, kid, is following you, and yani, he's waiting for you, yani, تغلط في كلمة, just to make one, you know, false word so they can hold it against you and maybe report it to the boss to get you fired. It's even worse than this. Satan's waiting for the opportune time for us to, you know, to be vulnerable to the sin, and then he introduces us, you know, to the sin. So the reality is that there is a true force that's working against us. The second reason why it's important for us to test all things is that Satan wants us to be consumed. Satan wants us to be consumed. He says, if you remember in the passage of Cain and Abel, before Cain went to go murder his brother, God appeared to him and he told him, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it." So he says its desire is for you. So the sin is pursuing us. You know, I think this becomes more evident now in our daily life or in modern society. This is more evident, and it's, you can clearly see it because of all of the temptations that come to us from our devices. And now things can be pushed in our face and pop-ups and so on, and us not even be searching for it or desiring to look at it. But things can be put in us. People can send us messages and they pop up on our phone without us being able to filter through them. So sin is pursuing us today more than ever. And I meant to emphasize here that Satan wants to consume us and to destroy us. St. James, when he was in his letter, chapter 1, he's describing sin. He says what? "When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death." Notice here he doesn't specify which sin. He doesn't say, okay, the sin of adultery, when it's full grown, brings forth death. The sin of lying, when it is full born, gives forth... But he said sin. Because if you think about it, every single sin we commit, its purpose is our death. Its purpose is our death. Either to get us to be so addicted to the sin where we can't help ourselves and people are pushed to commit suicide and so on, or you know, it's to convince us that there's no means of return for you and God will never accept your repentance. The ultimate desire of every sin is death. That's why it's a grave mistake for us to classify our sins. Abuna, I made a white lie. Abuna, I said this, and it's not a big deal, but I want to confess. Anytime we classify any sin as being not a big deal or something white or not big, I'm going to go to Abuna and confess only the big sins. The little ones can kill us just as big as or as easy as the big sins that we classify. Every sin, its end is death. Eternal separation from God. The third reason why it's important for us to test all things is because deception is Satan's trademark. His trademark is to deceive us. If you remember when the serpent came to Eve, he was deceiving her. He wanted to tell her that no, the fruit that God told you not to eat from, it really won't kill you. It'll make you actually more knowledgeable. It'll make you like God. So he takes the sin, the disobedience to God, and he sugarcoated it with an increase of knowledge. Who wouldn't want to be smarter? Right? You'll find this today. We'll take any sin and we'll sugarcoat it. I'll give you the example of more recent one, the use of drugs like marijuana. Right? When we say marijuana, we all classify that as being a drug of abuse, right? And something that is sinful and so on. But then when they say now cannabis, they give it like the medical terminology. Oh, cannabis sounds kind of fun, right? And then you'll find now they have different all things, and especially in the states that are legalizing this. So they take the sin and they sugarcoat it, make it sound very nice. Satan's trademark is to deceive us, my brethren. That's why the Lord said, "False Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Who are the elect? The elected are the Christians, the ones who say we are saved by the blood of Christ, right? So his desire is to deceive even the Christians who have the mark of salvation, is to deceive them into sin as well. So God willing, this week and next week, I'll speak about a few points. I'll speak about the standard of measure. Anytime you test something, there's got to be a standard of measure. Number two, we'll speak about what qualifies to be tested. These are the two points we'll speak about today. Next week, we'll speak about the tools of measurement, opponents to sound testing, and a safe haven. So, the standard. Is there a standard of measure? There must certainly be a standard of measure. Anytime we think of measuring anything, we always think of a certain measure. For example, we say our children are short because they are shorter than who? Than me. We say our children are taller when they become what? Taller than me. Right? There's always a standard whenever we measure anything. So the idea of society now saying that there's no truth, there's no standard of measure, everybody's has their own standard of measure. What's right to you is not right to the person next to you. This just will lead to utter chaos. If we really believed it and really lived by it, it'll lead to utter chaos, and we would end up killing each other and stealing one another's properties and so on. There has to be one standard of measure. Although it is contrary to popular opinion. And that one standard of measure is the one who put all things in order to begin with. The Creator, and not only the Creator, but the Sustainer. Right? The Sustainer. In the book of Job, when God is speaking to Job and rebuking him, he asked him a series of 84 questions. And among those questions were cosmological questions. He asked him, okay, do you know how the earth is hung? No, he doesn't. I don't know how the earth is hung. So, okay, then don't think that your ways are better than his ways. He's the Creator. He put this whole thing we call the universe and earth and our life that we even have, he put it into being out of non-existence. So he must be the one we return to ask, how does this life that you gave us supposed to function? It's just like when we receive anything, a new device or something, a piece of furniture that you have to assemble, always comes with a manual. And me, like most men, we can look at it and say, let me try to figure it out on my own. And if we do that and we embark on this, we find sometimes we have a few extra screws. Right? And then our wives look at us and say, Yara Bustur. There's extra screws here. They should use all of the screws. Right? But if we looked at the manual, it would turn out right or from the very first time. There is a standard. And God's standard, sometimes we get in the mindset of thinking that this standard of God is only regarding spiritual matters. It's not about how I should conduct myself in my work. There's a certain, arrangement for business. There's a certain way for dealing with my relationships in my business, my clients, my customers. I can't deal with them like I deal with the people in the church. I can't deal with them like this. There's a certain way that I have to deal with them. The letter of the law and so on. No, this is not the case. The way that we test all things is by what God has given us, and it applies to all aspects of our life, not simply our spiritual life and things here in the church. That's why in the Psalms it says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. The double-minded is the one who has one law for the world and one law for home and one law for friends and one law for church. The double-minded. I have multiple minds, multiple faces, multiple masks that I put on for the places that I am. You know what it's like? The standard measure is like the referee, right? All of us who've played sports, no, okay? It's a competition. I slide and I kick the ball and I don't think it's a foul. The guy in front of me thinks it's a foul because they're hurt. Who's the one to determine which one is right? The referee. And in all sports, when we argue with the referee, it's looked down upon, right? And it's often penalized, right? So there is a standard. At the end of the day, we're taught, whatever the ref says, go with it. Khalas, you know? There's nothing you can do. Better you stay in the game and finish the game than argue with the ref and get kicked out of the game than put us at a disadvantage. Right? So there is a standard of measure. My own opinion is not the opinion that will prevail. And St. Paul says the same. He says what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So first he tells us, don't be conformed to the world, because there's a standard of measure, right? And what is that measure? It's the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is our measure. And we find that in Scripture. We find that in the traditions of the church, right? We find that collectively in the sayings of the early church fathers and so on. So it's very important for us to know and understand and read the Bible and know the church teachings and know the tradition. All of the things maybe I hear oftentimes the kids say in Sunday school that these lessons, the dogmatic lessons are very boring. But they're necessary for us to learn the spirit of the church, the spirit of the Bible, right? So that when we face situations, we can recognize and say, this doesn't sound right. And to most of our credit, most of us, we have this compass. When we hear somebody say something or teach something here on the pulpit that doesn't sound completely right, it kind of raises a red flag and we begin to inquire, right? Because we have this spirit, we know when something doesn't sound orthodox and we can identify it. But beware, if we become lazy and not read our Bible and study and attend church and read and spiritual books from the church, then we can be among those elect who could be deceived. There is a standard, my beloved. The last point I'll mention today is what qualifies for testing. What is it that qualifies for testing? St. Paul said, test all things. So all, everything. Relationships in business, our school projects, right? All things. Our friends that we choose, the type of music we listen to, the type of media we consume, the type of friends we have, right? All, everything. Remember, the Bible says evil company corrupts good habits. Even the types of friends should fall under this test all things, whether they are from God or whether they are from the enemy. Even testing people in authority. Even testing people in authority. Like I said, if I stood up here and I said something that doesn't sound very orthodox, it would raise a question, right? There'd be something that of concern that comes, you know, to your mind. St. Paul tells us, or tells, you know, his children in Ephesus about an important piece about obeying and honoring your parents. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So he put here, in the Lord, which is very important. Because unfortunately, thankfully, yani, it's not the majority of us, but thankfully, unfortunately, there are some parents who lead their children astray. Right? So that's why he says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Even the testing of authority. As you grow, and maybe some of the youth who are in college, the people of authority are our professors, the ones that hold our grades, right? Test all things. Just because I have a professor who's teaching me history, it doesn't give him the authority and the nose to speak about theology or to speak about God, right? Or that his opinion, whatever he says, is true. No. Test all things and test all people. This test acts like a filter, right? So I have this standard, and then everything that my dealings with people and the things I hear the media that I see, everything is passed through this filter of the perfect will of God, and then I come out with something that is pure and something that is clean. God willing, next week we'll speak about what is it that God has given us as tools to measure, and we'll speak about what are the opponents of sound testing, what are the things that might fight us from testing or making a good test, and lastly, the safe haven. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.